This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to an episode of Tag Along. I'm your host, Bilal Khan, and I have here with us Haseeb Noor. And wa alaikum assalam. Today, we're going to be talking about, in this episode, why do we study history? Mm-hmm. What's the importance of history? A lot of people think history is boring. And I blame that on the teachers who make history about facts and figures.
I agree.
100%. And not people and the challenges and the real lives that, you know, the struggles they face that are very relatable to us.
Right. I agree 100%.
I guess the question that comes up now is, now, both you and I are familiar with one of Al-Maghrib's legends from back in the day, Dr. Ashraf Ismail.
Yes.
And our teacher. Yes, our teacher. And he is a PhD in political economics. Dr. Ashraf, if you ever see this, assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
And I'm probably just going to send him this video. And one of the things I remember that has always stuck out to me that he taught in his class, Islam and Vulnerable, History of the Modern Muslim World, is that towards the in the beginning of the class, he talks about how empires rise and fall.
Right.
But throughout history, if you watch it, you look at it, you will see that Islam stayed. Mm-hmm. Right? Like something as simple as like in the history of North Africa.
Right.
Muslim expansion during the time, starting with Umar al-Khattab, and then following through with Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and beyond.
Right.
Into the Umayyad.
Uthman Danfodio.
And found, Uthman Danfodio. Yeah. Right. What's interesting, 743,
right,
there was a what history calls a Berber revolution.
Right.
Right. Because they were number of issues that come into play. And their whole thing was like, well, we're not paying taxes because we're not, because we're Muslims.
Right.
And so they seceded from the Umayyad powers.
Right.
They left the Muslim power, empire, but they remained Muslim. And even well beyond when the Umayyads fell and, and even much, much later.
When the Abbasids fell, they accepted Islam.
Yeah.
Even though they were conquerors.
Yeah. And so.
That's crazy.
And so I think that's one of the things that we need to, I think, understand what, because throughout civilized people, whenever like they've been conquered, they've resisted the life and ideology of the conquerors.
Right.
And in the event that the conquerors were pushed back, they let go of it.
Right.
So I guess the question now is.
Or they were forced to give it up.
Oh, yeah. Or
Spain.
The Inquisition.
Yeah.
But even then, even in the forcing of that giving up, there were so many things where that became part of the inherent way of life of the people of southern Spain that was like, yeah, we know we do these things. We don't know why.
Right. And it remains to this day.
Yeah.
You know something amazing? I recently had a discussion with Abdurrahman Murphy, which like yesterday we were at his house having some breakfast. And when he went to Spain, he saw indigenous Spaniard Muslim families.
Okay.
That they basically said that we've inherited Islam.
Okay.
But none of them were Muslim.
That's interesting. Okay.
So what they did is, and this is like Assassin's Creed for those of you guys that are in a little bit. Check this out. So he said that basically there was even like families that their great grandfather at the moment of his death, he's like, I have to share with you something that is who we are.
Okay.
But I have never been able to share it with you today. Until today, knowing that I'm going to pass, we need to carry this, you to carry this on because that's who we are.
Okay.
And then he says the kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.
Very interesting.
And this is something that's been passed down since the Inquisition. So they've been Muslim. But Muslim only by...
But because of the forced oppression of them not being allowed to practice, it encodified into a way of life that allowed them to preserve some remnant of that even until today.
Right.
That's very interesting. It's
very, very amazing. So for those of you who need to go to Spain, go to Spain and check that out.
So like, I guess the question now is, a lot has happened since the Inquisition.
Right.
Right? You know, the kingdom, the Spanish, Texas...
Right.
The first nation that ruled Texas was Spain.
Right.
Like Spain was the largest empire post fall of Granada because all that wealth and expansion.
Right.
Britain actually helped many of the many of those that were fighting against Spain.
Right.
Heck, Jack Sparrow. Like the Jack Birdie was actually the guy who got he was British.
Right.
Became Muslim. Operated out of
Tunis. Jack Sparrow. Who's Jack Sparrow?
So Jack Sparrow, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, okay, all right. You got to give me something.
Okay, so
the original Jack Sparrow,
the actual Jack Sparrow, okay, right? His name was Jack Birdie, right? He was a British dude who was a pirate,
right?
And he actually was known for raiding Spanish ships historically,
right.
But what a lot of people don't realize is that he actually became Muslim. He was known to be a drunk. Right. And then when he became Muslim, he left drinking.
Right.
The locals there, they called him Jacques Asfour.
Yes, and because of his bird.
Yeah.
Or his last name, Birdie. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Asfour. And he also was like, he was given the nickname Birdie because he had a fascination with birds.
That's amazing.
So
I mean, knowing this history, what is it doing right now? Like, what does it do for you?
Part of it is like, well, for me, it's, I see a lot of interesting stories. Okay.
Right.
Coupled with the fact that, even in the imperfection of these people, like, I was still a pirate.
Right.
Right? But here's the thing. Piracy, and I actually want to show something. I actually saw this. It actually talks about it.
Okay.
The from Time Life actually posted something called the Golden Age Pirates. And they talk about, like, how piracy has been something that generally has existed. And in fact, amongst the original known ways of piracy has been a lot of Muslims raiding the ships of the Spaniards because of the post-Inquisition
colonizers.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was their actually revolution against imperialism.
Yeah.
There was actually a Libyan pirate queen.
Really?
Who was Muslim.
Because one of the thoughts I always had in my mind, it'd be cool to tell the stories. Like, in my mind,
the Muslim pirate quest.
It's not so much about the Muslim pirates.
Right.
But, like, it's the stories of these individuals. Like, look, they do imperfect things because of the circumstances that they're in. Right. And so, like, I'm thinking, like, Falcon Spain is something I'm working on right now. Right. The next thing I'm thinking about is the story of, like the real Jack Sparrow.
The real Jack Sparrow.
So dope, that's what I'm thinking about, right? And like now you just mentioned this queen, and like it'd be cool to have, like, I don't know of any many female figures. Like, yeah, I'm just first time I'm hearing about the queen Libyan pirate lady.
Right.
I think that would be so cool. Right? And so these stories and these figures.
But what did that do for you? Like, what did you get out of it? Like, you talked about right before when you started, but how do you, the people, and knowing the people in history is what made it made them relatable. What did that be making them relatable do for you? I mean, this is what I'm trying to get at.
I mean, what do you mean it does? For me, it's like,
and besides the cool story, like, how did that change?
Look, knowing things, I think, is a source of strength.
Good.
Right? And the reason I say this, and that's just even my own ancestral history.
Right.
Like, one of the things that I know about from my father's side is that in India, like, my dad's ancestors, talking great-great-grandfather, they were known for raiding British caravans.
So you were a pirate. it's all coming together, guys.
Don't look at it as a pirate, because they're colonialists, right?
They were taking back their rights.
Yeah, like, hey, you're invading us, and you're taking away, messing up our economics, and so
we're gonna take back what we usurpation, basically.
Exactly, right? We're taking back what was ours
to begin with.
And so what ended up happening was that a lot of these British traders, they had their own mercenaries with them, and so they ended up killing their entire family.
Your entire family.
Well, from my father's side, like, a lot of them. So they they relocated to the eastern India regions where.
See, that's awesome.
Where we're at now.
Right.
But it just showcases that, at least from my standpoint, like, at least I know my family's history.
Right.
We don't take crap.
Right.
Right. It's just like, even at the expense of facing danger, you stand up for what's right.
Right. Do you feel that has fed into who you are by knowing that? Or it's actually maybe even ingrained something even more that you've already kind of discovered about yourself.
Maybe, but at the same time, it's just like my dad knew this story well beforehand too.
Cool.
And my dad is also passionately interested in history. Good. And he's someone who has kind of always told stories of the past.
Right.
Of before, like, me growing up as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me was like, okay, Sira, cool, like, Islamic studies, whatever.
Right.
But, like, these stories of kings and stories of all of this stuff. And even my dad growing up as a kid, he had access to novels and the story of all these different historians in the Urdu language and the Hindi language growing up. More so, actually, and even my dad read comic books when he was a kid, mostly Phantom, if anybody knows Phantom, old comic books. Right. But for him, it was those historical characters.
Right.
Now, me growing up, I was more of the comic book guy, and my source of historical stories was my dad.
Right.
Right. But at the same time, I think the part of the inspiration for me is like, it'd be so cool to bring about like graphic novels of these real people. And even now, like, I love graphic novels. And not comic books.
Right.
Like, in fact, I'm actually impartial and actually against comic books and sad. I'm sorry. But Batman Superman sucks.
Okay.
Like, I'm not
a
even
Batman guy, so sorry.
I'm not even about Marvel and DC, right? Like, for me, I love Image.
Right.
Image has got some really good, it's like stories of like, there's this one like detective stories. And Batman comes close, right? He's kind of a detective story, but a guy who runs around in a ridiculous costume.
Right.
But I'm probably killing a lot of you.
What impact did going through and like learning, you're saying the greater stories, basically knowing these stories. I'm saying honing in on the historical aspect. What impact did that make in you?
I mean, I feel like it's something to aspire to.
Good.
These are real people.
Good.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
These are real people with real things that they faced.
Exactly.
Like, you talk about a rags-to-riches story.
Right.
Again, I want to mention Falcon Spain a lot because of that. But, like, this guy had his entire family murdered.
Right.
His brother killed in front of him.
Right.
And a hunted fugitive of within a fallen empire.
Right.
That and a new empire is now basically making sure that doesn't want
to overcoming insurmountable circumstances.
Yeah. Right. And
that's, you'll play it out through the people that you learn through in history and their personalities.
And even in the case of insurmountable, like for me, the other thing is I also find the story of Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf fascinating too.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, make him the protagonist of a story.
Right.
Like, not the good guy.
And interestingly enough, there is a Arab series.
Really?
It's in Arabic about Hajjaj ibn Yusuf.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, I mean, they obviously have to romanticize a lot.
Okay.
But it does exist and it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
There's now recently...
When you say Arab series, are we talking like...
Like the Umar series, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's like a recorded...
Yeah, it's a video. It's an actual...
So live action.
Live action.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they did recently, this past Ramadan, Imam Ahmed.
Interesting.
So it's really cool because you actually... You get to put a picture and live the story.
How, like, Fushawi?
It's also all Fushawi. Like,
okay.
It's not a word, guys. Fushawi, not a word. Fusha. All right. But yeah, it's all Fusha.
Okay.
And the beautiful thing about the Umar series, you know, I have three or four main kind of gripes with some of the presentation.
I couldn't get past the third episode of Umar.
Why?
So boring.
Yeah, that's one thing.
It was just talk.
A lot of people can disagree with you.
And some people tell me that
they think it was the best thing ever. I thought I would never watch it.
Okay.
Because when I didn't get past the first 20 seconds.
Okay.
The reason why is because when I saw what Umar looked like, shut it down.
That's like, that's not the image.
That's nowhere near what Umar radiallahu anhu.
Okay.
But guess who? Like my father, who is like completely against depiction of Sahaba, right?
Right.
He's the one who came up to me and says, you have to watch this.
Okay.
And he said, you know, he works in, mashallah, the hospital, and he works with, you know, other people. So a lot of times when they wanted to know, like, tell us about Islam, and he tells them, he finally said, you know what, go watch the Umar series. He said, these people came back, they were crying.
Mm.
They're like, we've never seen something so amazing in the persona of Umar ibn Khattab. So he said, I watched, you know, obviously all of that, and then I told him to do it.
Yeah.
So he said, you go watch it too. And I honestly, because four scholars are the ones who checked the script.
Okay.
So everything actually you listen to in the Umar series
has historical accuracy.
Accuracy. I'm talking about verbatim.
Okay.
So the script itself is historical.
Okay.
With the exception of, like, for example, there was a love triangle between Wahshi and Rayhana.
Rayhana?
That's the whole point. Like, they're basically two slaves, and they there's no reason to put that, right? But they have to because they Hollywoodized, whatever.
Okay.
But
or NBC-fied.
NBC-fied, right? Right. Whatever.
NBC is basically one of the major.
It's like the MTV of America, of the Middle East.
Is it MTV or is it HBO?
HBO, MTV, because they have like 20 channels.
Oh, really? Okay.
They have a sports one, they have everything.
Okay, I gotcha.
But in any case, so that actually, I mean, even now, by the way, I recommend it to people because. It actually, you know, a lot of what you said, you get to see that historical aspect. And what it does is it makes them
humanize. The one thing, though, I do appreciate about the Umar series, at least the three or four episodes that I did watch, was getting to see the way that the world looked.
Right. That also is cool.
Like, that, I was like, oh, I get it. So it's like desert village life.
right?
And seeing the kind of clothing.
But there's a complexity to it. It's not just, you know, they're not the goats and sheep in the desert.
No, right. No, I understand. Right. And that's I appreciated that.
Exactly.
But beyond that, I was just like, now the question is it, should I watch more? Is like, does it pick up? Does it get more, less boring?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, it does, but it just depends on you as a person. I think personally, if you like history,
yeah,
you're going to like it. I know some people that they don't want to watch it because they themselves find fulfillment in reading.
Okay.
So like, it's not for me, so I don't watch it.
Okay.
Right? Because there is, you know.
I mean, like, I like other series, right. But I just found it boring.
I think for the majority of people, they will definitely find some aspect of it. But the aspect that I was trying to hone in on is, like, something that I emphasize in the class is, you know, once you study your history and you understand what it is that, you know, it's kind of like not a birthright, but a faith right.
Okay.
When you're a Muslim, it leaves a lasting impact in you when you know your history. And it ingrains those lasting remnants of our heritage.
I think part of the question comes into play is knowing this thing that you're following, where is it coming from?
There you go. What's the source of your worldview?
I think it adds intellectual... I'm trying to think of the word for it, but not justification, not proof.
Like authenticity?
Maybe authenticity, but you're not following it blindly.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there is, and this is something that a lot of other faith traditions cannot say.
Right.
Like they can't, like you can't, there's only so far you can go before it gets cloudy.
Murky, grainy, and you don't have any kind of authenticity to it.
Right. And whereas there is like, and this is a conversation I had with a colleague of mine who happened to be, himself was confused because one parent was Greek Orthodox and the other parent was Catholic.
Right.
Right. And so he felt like he went to Catholic school, like college.
Right.
And after going to Catholic college, he was just like, I don't know what I should believe anymore because a lot of this stuff, he's recognizing that the source of it is murky.
Right.
And
that's why I think you have in this generation, we were just talking about this earlier, like, you know, even when I was growing up in high school, a lot of people who have short term, like livability goals, they only see in the short term.
Yeah.
And they don't have that. I mean, you're telling me that.
The quote, John Hopkins basketball coach where he said people often fail because they give up what they want most for what they want now.
Right.
And that short-term, short-sighted, not only just aspirations, but if you think about it, the decisions that you make for a short-term goal without even considering the long-term objective is, it'll get you to where you want to go short-term, but then once you get there, you might have even forfeited what you want in the end.
Right.
And so...
And that's why I think personally, studying history... will make you understand not to live for short-term aspirations.
Yeah.
It will allow you to tap into something which is much deeper and much bigger than what you're going to achieve in the short term, but rather it'll allow you to aspire to something long-term. That's what I think the class will do. Why? You're going to live it through the eyes of two people who are imperfect human beings. In fact, in the case of Umar radiallahu anhu, he had some major problems.
What are some major problems?
Like he was a drunk. He questioned himself and his own existence.
Okay.
He had an existential crisis.
Okay.
He was a person who was
just... Was this crisis continuing through Islam?
Partially.
Okay.
In the sense that he had to overcome some of his brute force.
Okay.
And some of his infringement.
His impulsiveness.
His impulsiveness, radiallahu anhu. In the sense of... A lot of people say that Umar radiallahu anhu was harsh. Right?
Okay.
I like to say that he was... he had a strong presence.
Okay.
Right? So just as a refiner of respect. Right?
Overwhelming, overbearing potentially?
Right.
Okay. Yes.
So in the sense that...
Like if he was in the room, you would know it.
You not only know it, but you'd be afraid like what's going to go down.
Okay.
You know, like that was Umar radiallahu anhu, that it, subhanAllah, under the tutelage and guidance and love and care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he overcame throughout the life of not only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Abu Bakr. And you will get to see that.
Okay.
And this is why it's so important to kind of...
You know, the thing that always made me wonder is... Umar radiallahu anhu being who he is, and people being afraid in his presence for even small things, and yet Abu Bakr Siddiq was not.
Yeah, he wasn't.
And how does that work? How does that happen?
Well, we have two strong personalities.
But here's the thing. Okay, fine. Maybe Abu Bakr is strong in a personality sense, but he doesn't come off as that when
That's the that's the nuance of who we are as human beings, right? So some people, they have very strong personality, but they know how to handle people. They know how to deal with people.
Okay.
They know how to guide people in situations without nearly being direct.
Okay.
And then there's other people that are like, no, there are no hands, no holds barred. There's no filter.
Yeah.
The truth is the truth, and that's how we're going to get it done, right? But the interesting thing is Umar radiallahu anhu kind of stepped out of that throughout his khilafah.
Okay.
And
he stopped being
this direct, like no holds barred, no filtered.
What was the? I think there was a quote about how he became softer.
Yes.
Throughout, like in his khilafah.
Right.
And there was something about how he was harsh with certain people, mm-hmm. but soft with others.
He himself said it. He said when he became a khalifa.
Yeah.
He said that I'm hearing that people.
Mm-hmm.
Are spreading rumors that Umar will be harsh against us.
Okay.
Right? And when in his rule compared to Abu Bakr and obviously compared to the Prophet.
This is when he became Khalifa.
When he became Khalifa, this was one of his speeches.
Sure.
And he said, they're right. I am going to be harsh. Like it's going to be like hardcore. And what he said is like, but I'm going to be harsh against those who oppress the weak. And I'm going to be harsh against myself and establishing justice.
Okay.
So that kind of calmed people down. In the sense that that harshness is not going to be personal.
It's about clarifying his priority as to where he's going to direct that harshness.
Right. Now, if we take
it... Harshness is the word they use?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like in the sense of being harsh.
Okay.
To in general situation.
Harsh versus strict.
Synonymous in many ways, right? You can be strict, but you don't have to be harsh.
Right.
And I think Umar radiallahu anhu...
was maybe somewhere between?
I don't really... I wouldn't subject him to the word strict.
Okay. Because strict usually has to do with discipline.
Strict is subjective, right? Okay. What does strict mean, right? If you're strictly upholding to the five daily prayers, that's not strict.
Okay.
That's fundamental.
Okay.
Right? But if, I don't think I would subject those terms to him.
Okay, fair enough. Right.
But one thing that I did want to make sure to address in the class is how you yourself can kind of live your own imperfections in the lives of these people.
Okay.
These are people that are our models. So when you kind of live their life through their eyes and see how the ideal, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lived and imparted that kind of guidance which we claim to follow Islam, you yourself will be able to overcome your own imperfections.
How do you communicate to someone? Mm-hmm. All right, so people are like, oh, how come if Muslims or Islam is so great, right? Then then why is so much this and that? And a lot of times people are like, well, Islam is perfect, but Muslims are not.
Right?
It's like, well, if Muslims can't, so how do you make something good?
Right?
If like how can you expect for there to be justice if you don't expect the Muslims to be the perfection of Islam?
Right. Well, it's a two-part situation. Number one, and I think this is something we understand in our discussions that we had earlier, in the sense of a lot of times that history in and of itself is looked at from an Orientalist kind of perspective.
Okay.
And these kind of questions, people are asking us to take a stance when they themselves are ignorant of their own oppression and ignorance and in their own kind of history. So when people ask, well, where are the Muslims now? Well, don't you know what the amount of oppression and injustice that's happening?
Maybe the first question to ask, and this is more along the lines of the ways and rules of in the art of dialogue,
right?
If somebody were to ask any of these kind of questions, but the first question is, do you consider yourself an objective individual?
Right.
Right.
Yes, of course, everybody's objective.
Right? No, I mean, okay,
that's what they would say, right?
So then, and maybe there's like, okay, well, because the question itself is somewhat antagonistic.
Of course it's antagonistic.
Right?
Yeah.
And so...
And people who would want truth, they wouldn't ask the question in that format.
Well, let me ask you this. What would be the appropriate question to ask that? Because here's... Because a lot of times... Because many times people like... And even in my own engagements with people, my first question is like, wait, hold on. How much do you actually... Like, how much do you know about Islam?
Right.
And many times people truthfully, honestly, like, look, honestly, I don't know anything.
They don't know anything, right?
Yeah. And
you answer your question.
Right. So I'm like, great.
How,
you know what?
How are people who are imperfect, and specifically when they come to countries, how are they and they only the representation of Islam? which we feel as ideal from God.
Okay.
A system of an idealistic kind of system that we believe brings peace and justice.
Okay.
When you have people who are corrupt.
Yeah.
When you have people who are unjust.
Yeah.
When you have people who are transgressors. Does that make sense? I wouldn't hold, you know, a faith accountable or judge it by its followers.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? So if those followers are not implementing that faith and they're not living to that ideal.
Okay.
And it's something very maybe taxing to constantly keep
saying.
So
it's unfair to hold Christianity to the Crusades?
Yeah. That's my point.
Okay.
We discussed that exact topic.
Really?
If I were to, like you were mentioning the same thing as well. Like if we were to hold.
Or the Inquisition.
The Inquisition, yeah.
Yeah.
Or not, let's just be very honest. What the Christians did to the Jews before the Muslims came and what the Jews did to the Christians before the Muslims came in Jerusalem.
Okay.
They slaughtered 70,000 at one.
Wait, the Jews also had atrocities against the Christians?
The Jews rose against the Christians and they sided with the Persians. That's okay. What led to the fall of Jerusalem.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about that in detail and saying that, listen, if you hold people accountable based on their political movements or these uprisings or anything, anytime violence has been done in the name of their faith, then no faith would be acceptable.
Okay.
Right? And the thing is, even in Islamic history, you will find times Muslims which acted completely un-Islamic.
Even against other Muslims.
Yeah, within Muslims even, right? You can't look too far. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf slaughtered thousands of pilgrims and threw their bodies in the holiest area in the world, Mecca, in the well of Zamzam.
Yeah.
And they said you could taste the blood of... Is this acceptable? No. Even during the time which was...
I mean, even his siege laid destruction to the Kaaba itself.
Yeah, their catapults hit the Kaaba itself and broke and destroyed it.
Yeah.
During even time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, which we consider even some called the fifth Khalifa, which I reject.
Okay.
Because the fifth Khalifa was Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that, inshallah. Yeah. But the point being is he was so righteous, they said he's the fifth righteous Khalifa.
Okay.
Even in his time, there were three major uprisings.
Would it be fair to say to call him the sixth?
No.
Okay.
I would just say he's a righteous Khalifa.
Okay, he's just a righteous.
But Khalifa Rashida, no.
Okay.
Khalifa Rashida is specific to Hadith.
Hadith because the Hadith ends at a particular time.
30 years. He said 30, the Prophet ﷺ said there will be 30 years of righteous succession, Khilafah, upon the prophetic way.
Okay.
And then there will be corruption and monarchy in the kingdom.
Sure.
My point being is even during Umar Abdulaziz's time, there was three revolts over people who literally excommunicated the Muslims. They called them not Muslim.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar?
That sounds very familiar.
Exactly.
Across all eras.
Right. I'm talking about in particular even now.
Yeah.
When we're seeing these trends and these lunatic people.
Yeah.
This is something that existed from the time of even the companions.
Well, I guess another question that comes up is if this, I guess, supposed cancer continues to, turn up its head every so often.
Yeah, and it will.
The question is, like, how do you cut that cancer out?
Well, come to the class. You have to learn your history first and foremost. Most people don't know their own history to be able to answer those questions.
Okay.
If Muslims appear to be the great ideal, why then? Well, there's two problems.
Well,
One of them is actually the questioner in and of itself speaking from an ignorant perspective, antagonistic.
Okay.
And also their worldview is based on almost like an Orientalist belief.
Okay.
Where I have to justify my humanity and your humanity is the standard.
Yeah.
Whereas you can say, oh, you look like a fair human being. Can you tell me about the historical, you know, whatever? Like, where do these people come from?
Okay.
Is this really true Islam? Those are nice questions.
Okay.
But if you were to try to, you know, make me justify or rationalize criminals, then what does that say about you?
Right?
So if I were to go around saying, oh, you astaghfirullah, we don't do that at all. But that's why they're not our teachers.
Yeah.
We don't go around saying Christianity is such and such because of the Crusades.
So in fact,
Christianity is such and such because of what they did in Spain.
So like for us, our response appropriately shouldn't be that.
Of course.
Right? It should not. Look what the Crusaders did.
Yeah.
Look what the Inquisitors did.
Like, for example,
look what the Nazis did.
Right now, the KKK, for example. We don't say the KKK represents Christians.
Right.
Any sane Muslim doesn't believe that.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So why is Daesh and these people representative of Islam?
Right.
It's very simple. Like, and it's a lack of education. History will allow you to confidently understand where you came from and also to respond to the antagonizing, inappropriate questioning that we have to justify who we are.
Fair enough. So I guess the question that comes up is, or rather, the idea one should not be in a position or responding from a position of, here, let me justify myself.
Right.
It's like, it's not even about justification. Right. It's about, you know, it's a famous quote that's attributed to Mark Twain. Mm-hmm. History doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes.
Right.
So,
he thought it was pretty cool.
Hey, I thought it was genius because right. people, it's like, it's true. History doesn't repeat itself, but there's many continuous common right. trends
exactly.
that keep happening because people don't realize what's right. going on.
Right.
Like one of the questions I had in my mind when I was learning about the treaty between after the handing of the keys of Granada, mm. right, and the treaty, like the treaty that they had, mm. and how they broke all those treaties,
right,
and you know the kill, and you know how they justified the breaking of these treaties. Mm. Well, they did certain actions, which the Muslims responded with in protest,
right,
and they said, "Well, you're protesting, so you're breaking the treaty,
right,
and therefore now this treaty is null and void,
right."
And so, and
look at the juxtaposition. See, this is beautiful because, like, you have, you know, you read very well into the Andalus history. I want you to juxtapose what you've learned about the era of what the Prophet himself described as the most righteous era of succession.
Okay.
And juxtapose with everything horrible the Spaniards did. It's literally almost the complete opposite.
It's
breaking of treaties.
Yeah.
Not upholding justice. Not taking care of minorities. The central leadership.
I mean, even the Muslims themselves, not even just the Spanish treaty, which is a complete opposite, yeah. but like even the Muslims themselves, a lot of the things that right. they did was totally against
right.
The Prophet.
Yeah. So if you look at it, Spain started out with what? And this is something, you know, inshallah, when everybody visits, you will see that in most of those cities, the masjid was always the center.
Okay.
And they built around it. So the castles were attached to the masjid.
Okay.
And later what happened is towards the fall, the masjid became in the outskirts and then the rest of the city. It's almost like a physical manifestation of what happened to faith. It got pushed to the ends.
Mm. Okay.
As opposed to what you saw in the era of the Khulafa. The first people to implement these ideals was the leader of the believers.
Okay.
Who would come into Jerusalem in tattered clothing.
Mm.
Not because he believes you should be like that. In fact, when the companions, we talked about this, when they spoke against Umar ibn Khattab and said, how can you dress like this?
Yeah.
He would say, I can't believe the material world has entered your hearts. They responded.
Yeah.
They said that's not what has happened. Rather, we want to be basically looked at as equals and be on a level playing field to what the people are already aware of.
Okay.
So the custom, we want to be acclimate to the same customs.
Yeah.
And the world hasn't like fallen into our hearts.
It's we're just still in our following, hands.
Right.
Yeah.
And not only that, but we're also following the same strategy which you taught us, Umar. This exact words that Khalid ibn Walid and Abu Ubaidah Amr radiallahu and others stated. Mm. So what did Umar say? He's like, if that's the case, then it's okay.
Interesting. Okay.
And we're going to talk about that in class.
It's funny because people just always leave off on...
Right. Like leave the world. No.
Yeah.
The companions were not like that. That's why they could dress, you know, in the most richest of Roman clothing.
And was it... I think even during the time of Muawiyah, not him Khalifa,
yeah.
but when he was governor.
Yeah, of Sham.
Of Sham.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which companion it was. Was it Umar ibn Khattab or was it Abu Bakr Siddiq?
Mm.
Who either visited him or he visited one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he had like the...
Right,
fine
right,
clothing.
The fine clothing, right, right.
And then they're like, what is this?
Right, right, right.
And he's like, well, I have to engage with them a lot, and for right. them to take me seriously, I right. need to look like this.
Exactly.
And he's like, well, that's on you.
He approved it.
Yeah, yeah. Like you do what you got to do.
Exactly.
So, but I think, and this is interesting because even Sheikh Yasser Berjas mentioned, I think he was mentioning this in one of our classes,
mm.
where at one point people are like, no, you should be only wearing simple clothes. Right?
We have such an infatuation with this man. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
And his response was this story
right.
about like, look, it's not about the material.
Right.
Whether it be in simplicity or complexity.
Right. It's not right. about you worrying about what you look like
yeah.
in and of itself,
yeah.
what you project yourself as, but rather what is the heart behind that?
Yeah.
What are your values and ideals which lead you and you're not basically letting it
so basically what you have on, as long as it's within what is permissible
right.
is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. within the bounds of Islam. No, that's
what I mean. Within the bounds of what's, allowed.
Of course, yeah.
It's really irrelevant because at the end of the day, it comes down to how you are presenting and to whom you're presenting to.
Right, and what you're saying, what your ideas are.
So
you're judged by the content of your character, as Martin Luther King would say.
Well, ideally. Well, that's what I'm saying. Is
so
like,
I would just basically respond to those people, say, what did MLK say in I Have a Dream scene?
Yeah,
we want a country that are judged by the content of your character, not the skin of your color of your skin.
Yeah, and
that's, or the faith that you hold.
Oh, you know what? That would be an appropriate, like, is that what you're saying? Like, if somebody asks the antagonistic question.
That would be a good one-liner.
Yeah, and then I'm like, well, what, but if... Because
maybe you believe in two different Americas. I live in an America which we accept that, and you don't live in America. So why don't you leave? No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't
say that. Oh, man.
Initially, anyway.
Yeah. So, cool. So at the end of the day, our purpose for studying history,
right,
is more so for us to harness that strength,
right?
Right? For us to have that. I'm so distracted by this awesome pirate photo. Yeah, I love it.
Finish your thought.
It's just like, look, like there's so much detail on this thing, right? And just the scimitar.
Yeah.
Right? It's the French Arab combo.
Right.
The hand protection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the things that they never explain is like, why do swords not, like, why do they have the hilt?
Mm-hmm.
Because to protect against the
if it comes down.
You're right, if it comes down. But this thing, the reason that they had the extra piece, mm-hmm. which the scimitars ended up adopting, was to continue the protection onto the hand, which mm-hmm. is whole, because sometimes they would try to hit the hand mm-hmm. to disarm the combatant.
Interesting.
What's interesting is the U.S. Marines, mm-hmm. the official formal uniform, has a scimitar.
Mm-hmm.
And that scimitar, essentially during the Civil War, was a gift from the Ottoman Empire at the time.
Wow.
And so...
Interesting.
So it's interesting. The American history uses an Arab sword as part of one of its military... and the Civil War, you'll see photos of them. Not photos, but like drawings of them using the scimitar,
mm-hmm.
which essentially was a gift to America. Ultimately, I think the purpose here is to what? Have a sense of strong sense of identity.
Strong sense of identity.
Self-esteem.
Yeah.
Strength of who you are.
And you'll understand that if you understand where you came from.
Yeah.
Where your heritage leads to. Reconnecting with that.
Your individual heritage.
Right.
Your ethnic heritage.
Right.
Your spiritual heritage.
There you go.
Your local heritage.
Exactly.
Just where you are. You might not have been born in a particular location,
mm-hmm.
but I can appreciate Texas that much more,
right?
Because, like, you know why they call it Six Flags? Six Flags Great Adventure, Six Flags the theme park,
right?
Is originally a Texan theme park.
Oh wow, okay.
And
I don't know that.
It's Six Flags because of the six nations that have governed Texas.
Oh, see.
So Spain, you had the Spanish, you had the French, you had the
Mexico for sure.
Yeah, Mexico, right. Independent Republic of Texas, United States, and I forgot what's number six.
You already said French, right?
Yeah. So, well, anyway, six.
Morocco?
I gotta look it up. Hold on a second.
Look it up. Anyway,
okay, Google. Six Flags Texas Nations.
According to Wikipedia, Six Flags Over Texas is the slogan used to describe the six countries that have had sovereignty over some or all of the current territory of the U.S. state of Texas, Spain, France, Mexico, the Republic of Texas, the Confederate States of America, and the United States of America.
The Confederate States of America.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so they consider it. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Fun fact, United States of America, as it is today, the U.S. Constitution, did not begin in 1776.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Articles of Confederation, mm-hmm. which then were revisited and reconstructed as the U.S. Constitution as we know it today,
right.
which is the United States of America. So
right.
I am wondering, is it appropriate and fair to say that U.S. is still 241 years old? Because 1776 is the Declaration of Independence, but not the actual founding of the United States of America.
Right. That's for another...
Yeah.
Time.
And another fun fact, I might have mentioned this before. If I haven't, we'll mention it now.
Uh-huh.
Muslims ruled over Sicily or at least governed Sicily for 241 years.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
which is as long as the alleged length of the social experiment known as the USA.
That's why you study history.
All right, guys. Stay tuned and hope you guys enjoyed this. Do share this with anyone that you believe would find value. And I'll see you guys soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Thanks.